of your door. See, there is somebody that can never get out of your knocking. Anytime God
exposes himself to the Lord right now,
and as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was changed.
Hallelujah.
If there's anything to learn from the story of Adam and Eve after they sinned against God, is that it is possible to be dead spiritually and yet be active and alive naturally. Are you following me? Because the Lord said unto them, in the day that ye eat of this fruit, you will surely die. Are you with me? Now, how come they ate of that fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, yet they did not seem to die naturally? Was God lying? So what was God trying to say? However, there was a symptom that even if they did not want to make the connection intentionally, it was enough to get their attention. That after they ate that fruit, they became naked. So even if they did not stop breathing, that symptom was enough indication that what God said about the fact that when they eat of that fruit, they will surely die, some kind of death took place. Are you with me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And so, like I said, that story teaches us that it is possible for a person to die spiritually or to be disconnected spiritually, but there is no natural obvious effect, at least to the obvious observation. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Have you seen people that look okay and then suddenly you hear that this person died and you were surprised?
Yes, sir.
And they tell you it was a heart attack or it was a liver failure or it was high blood pressure or something. You know, I heard one yesterday that literally broke me. An agent for the house I used to stay before. I spoke to him some weeks ago. And I happened to pass by the house yesterday. And I just greeted some of my former neighbors. And they just mentioned it to me that the agent is dead. I was like, what? From where? They say they don't know. He just fell down, and that was it. So if you looked at them from a physical standpoint, there was no evidence of sickness. But usually, there are symptoms. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
There are symptoms. There are things that he might have been noticing, or they might have been noticing, but they did not pay enough attention to. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
There are always symptoms. In the same way, there are symptoms to know that the person is spiritually healthy. Just the same way, the nakedness of Adam and Eve was a pointer to something deeper. In the same way, there are symptoms that point to the state of your spirit and your soul. There are symptoms that show how healthy you are in your soul and in your spirit. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
This is very important too. You know, when preparing the teaching for this midweek service today, I said this thing is a conference. This thing is not a midweek service. What this thing, this spiritual health, this is an entire weekend conference, Friday night, Saturday morning, afternoon and evening session, and then Sunday morning.
Glory!
Glory.
Glory.
Maybe we are going to have a conference like that. Maybe in one of the immersion camps. So this year's immersion camp is Landmark. Contending for the faith. Contending for the Orthodox Apostolic faith. That's this year's immersion camp. Next year's immersion camp is Doxa, the glory of God. I think 2028 is where we may choke that one. What is there is seat, walk, stand for 2028. Maybe we'll put this one, normal Christian life. Are you normal? That's where maybe I will ask the king if we'll change it. So we are wondering, they don't plan 2028 immersion camp. I would ask you an honest question. Do you think if we're having services every day, I'll run out of tea? I will like it. I will just love it. Just on Monday we begin. I will teach tea. We'll finish on Sunday. Continue. That's how it's supposed to be. Oh, I want to ask you, when last did you stay for 3 days, no food? Then you now eat on Wednesday. Then you not eat again until Sunday. Tell me, when last did you do it? I'm not saying you cannot fast like that, but if you have done it this year, that you ate on Sunday, then you do not eat again on your Wednesday. Then you starve yourself of food until Sunday again. Let me see your hand. You see, with all these numbers here, no single person. Somebody say, oh, pastor, are you saying that we cannot eat the word in our house? There is something called the fresh word. That are you with me?
Yes, sir.
That's the way the Bible people did it though. Daily. Hallelujah. Oh. So how do you know that you are healthy spiritually? Or let me put it like this: how do you know that you might just be spiritually sick? How do you know that there may be sickness in your soul or in your spirit? You know, one thing I've learned in recent times in dealing with my personal health, once I sense a symptom, I don't play again. No, I don't play again. When I was in university, in my 200 level, 300 level, I was diagnosed with ulcer. I did not know. I was diagnosed with it. Those days, I think my fasting is still any work now compared to in school. I'm talking about, I will wake up on Monday. I will not eat till Thursday. Proper 3 days stretch fast. I used to do stretch fast back to back until they had to take me to the hospital. And so at some point recently, I noticed it again. I eat it. The way I attacked food. When I noticed that symptom of ulcer, I said, if you like, call me Kana. If you like, say, that was your own cup of coffee without sugar. I attacked food like this. I know what somebody's thinking. It's not even showing in your body. No problem. It's fine. You will soon see the harvest. Amen. So, how do you know that a person might be sick spiritually? Number one, unexplainable weariness and shame. Unexplainable weariness and shame. Matthew chapter 12 from verse 43. Matthew 12, verse 43 to 44. The Bible says, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Verse 44. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, He findeth it empty, swept and garnished. Verse 45. Then he goeth and taketh with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. My emphasis is not in verse 44 or verse 45, but verse 43. Go back to verse 43. It says, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, doing what? Seeking rest. And does what? And findeth none. So, this is Jesus giving us an insight into the spirit realm of what a displaced spirit looks like. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
A spirit that is out of his home is a restless spirit. I know the context here is negative, as an evil spirit that was in the house of a man and all of that. But he's telling you that spirits usually seek a place of rest. Have you ever seen that verse in Psalm 66, I believe, where God was speaking, where is my house and the place of my rest? Are you following me? And then he said, it cannot be a building, because the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. For all of these things my hands have made. Then he now said, but unto this man will I look, a man of a contrite and of a broken spirit. So he was saying that even me, who is God, the place of my rest is a man. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
So because God is a spirit entity, God also seeks a place of rest, but he's looking for a man for him to rest in.
Yes, sir.
Are you with me? So speaking about Jesus, Jesus was the first man whom God found that place of rest. So God said, you missed the place to shout glory. So remember the instruction given to John. He says, upon whom thou see the Spirit descend and remain. This is he that baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. So upon whom you see the Spirit of God descend and find a place of rest. Are you with me? That is the person that will baptize with the Holy Ghost. So now, because we are in Christ, God has also found a place of rest in us. So the Bible says you are the temple of the Most High God by the Spirit. Are you with me? So that means one sign you know that you are sick spiritually is that your spirit man is not in that state of rest. Because when you get born again, according to 1 Corinthians 6, verse 17, he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. So when you are disaligned from the oneness of your spirit with the Spirit of God, you will come into a state of restlessness. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
When you realize that you are just weary, you are just restless. And sometimes you even try to do things in the natural, but you don't seem to get that calm. You watch a movie. It seems like it gives you a light ease. But when the movie is done, that thing is still there. That restlessness is still there. You go and buy shawarma. You buy pizza. You eat this. You eat that. You don't seem to find that rest. You hang out with friends. You don't seem to find that rest. There is sickness. That's one of the earliest signs. Sometimes, some of you who are vigilant, if you go for 2 days without praying, you start feeling that way. You know what I'm talking about. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You start feeling that restlessness. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Also, when it becomes prolonged, it begins to manifest as spiritual shame. Has it ever happened to you before where for a prolonged period you did not pray, you did not read the Bible, and when you wanted to pray, you felt ashamed of coming to God?
Yes,
who knows what I'm talking about?
Yes,
You almost felt like God has moved on from you because of your unseriousness. Who knows what I'm saying? Because of your... So you just assume that that thing you are feeling is God. It's not. Because God cannot be the cure and shame you for coming to receive cure from him. Remember when Adam and Eve sinned against God? One of the very first things they did was to hide themselves from God. And then God came and said, "Where are thou?" Not because he did not know where they are, but he knew that they have shifted out of a spiritual position and God did not see them there. And he said, "Adam, where art thou?" Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
And then Adam said, "I hid myself because I was naked." And God said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree you ought not to eat of?" And then God discovered that they used fig leaves to cover themselves. So God was now the one that gave them a proper covering. Let me tell you something here. Never allow yourself to fall into any kind of condemnation that makes you run away from God. "Oh God, I have messed up. I just feel like, I don't know, God should just..." That's the bait of Satan. Am I teaching here?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's the bait of Satan. God would have moved on with people who are more serious. Me, I cannot even pray consistently for 1 week. That is why you should keep on going. Go there. It is better you are Peter praying with Jesus and you sleep off than the other disciples who ran away. Are you with me? Oh, I will rather be in the place of prayer and mumble tongues and sleep off than to be someone who does not care at all. Are you with me? So, weariness and shame is one of the very first signs that a person is sick spiritually. Weariness. This one is a very... I'm emphasizing it because it happens a lot. It happens a lot. Sometimes it may even manifest as being overwhelmed with your life's responsibilities. I have bills to pay. How will I manage myself with this? I have this course to complete. I'm not getting as much sales as I was supposed to get. The customers are not coming. And you think it is normal... because you have faced, there's a lot on you. But when you study the Bible's response to is different. The Bible says, "Count it all joy." James chapter 1. Are you with me? "When thou fall into diverse tests, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." So if you are held spiritually, as the weight is coming, don't worry, we move. We move, we move. I count it all joy. I count it all joy. Glory!
Glory!
I count it all joy. I cannot be overwhelmed. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
No matter what I face, God is in control.
Yes,
that's the response of a healthy spirit.
Hallelujah.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
You may think it's normal. Oh, Jesus, I'm not walking. Let me. No, that thing is a sign of... The Bible says the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity.
Yes, sir.
The spirit of a man will sustain. So he's telling you that what keeps a man is a spirit.
Yes, sir.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Not what is in his bank account. What keeps a man is a spirit. But a broken spirit, who can bear? So that means when a man is broken in the spirit, every other thing will begin to fall off his hands. That is why when a man is broken in the spirit, even when he has great achievements in the natural, he will not still be happy. Everybody will be saying, "But wow. You will meet him. When everybody has gone, he falls back into that state of sadness. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Close your eyes and say, "Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit,
I thank you for strength in my spirit.
I thank you for strength in my spirit.
I receive strength in my spirit. I am strengthened with might. I am strengthened with might by your spirit in my inner man. I am strengthened with might. I cannot be broken. I cannot be discouraged. I cannot be weary. I am strengthened with might. You are my song and my strength. You are my son and my shield. I am strengthened with might. Glory! 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 I have strength. 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 Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
You have strength.
Yes.
You have strength.
Yes.
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
God is on my side. I can never be ashamed. God is on my side. I can never be defeated. I can never be defeated. God is on my side. The Lord is my son and my shield. He gives me grace and glory.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Say after me, I refuse to be broken.
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 I am strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, because greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I am not overwhelmed. I know what to do. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. No matter the responsibilities, no matter the pressure, I will not break under it. The greater one lives in me. He is giving me strength. The greater one lives in me. He is showing me what to do. There is a way for me. There is a way for me. There is a way for me.
Glory.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Pray in the spirit. Pray in the spirit. Sabaraka palagado seketetelia. Shambraka tombala kanton kabadem vrata kasante. Like zuze keteke sute likapai. Ratumbara satenge peleke sheketelia. Zuketepeleketelia. 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 Ratanzata lakambara sata kapai. Shekepelege dedege sheketelia. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, hallelujah.
That's the first one. Sign that a person is sick spiritually. You know, let me tell you something here. I have never taught what I don't believe. I will never teach what I don't believe. The Bible says, these things were written of Jesus, of all he began to do and to teach.
Yes, sir.
I'm teaching you what I do. This, what I'm sharing with you, is the secret.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Me, I can never be stopped. It's not possible. It's not possible. It's not possible for me to fail. It's not possible. Are you with me? I'm saying it because the Lord is asking me to say it. Yes, that's why I'm saying it. It's not possible for you to fail. Number two, when a person is sick spiritually, he has what I can call the loss of appetite.
Just the same way in the natural, when a person is sick, he loses his appetite. In the realm of the spirit, when a person is sick, his appetite for the things of God begins to decline. And his appetite for worldly things begins to increase. Are you following me? Romans chapter 6 verse 11. He says, likewise, reckon ye yourselves also to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So there is something called dead unto sin, but alive unto God. Are you with me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It is the result of the work of God in the heart of a man. That when he's alive unto God, he is dead unto something else. But then, when you find out that you are now alive unto sin and you are becoming dead unto God, it is proof that a person has become sick spiritually. So, the early sense will tell you that they discovered that the more they stayed with the things of the spirit, the more they stayed in prayer, the more they were interested in the things of God. But the less they stayed with the things of God, it seemed like their interest in the things of the world began to increase. That's what we are talking about. See, when you get born again, one of the signs that you are born again is that your appetites are recalibrated to respond to God.
Yes, sir.
The Bible says, they that are of the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are of the spirit, they mind the things of the spirit. For there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. So those who are in Christ Jesus, we have a natural propensity to walk after the things of the spirit. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
But when you start becoming dead to God, alive to sin, it is proof that your spiritual health is compromised. And many times, it doesn't even start with outright sin. It begins with loss of passion. Excuses for being perpetually absent in church. Why are you not in church? On Sunday morning, he's jogging. Say, I just want to use Sunday and rest. How long is the Sunday? How long is the hours on the Sunday you want to use and rest? How many people come to church by 8 o'clock? 8 to 11, 12, max, you are done. So you take out 4 hours out of 24 hours. You have 20 hours left to yourself, but 4 hours is too much. Is that not telling you that there is something wrong? It's called spiritual bad manners. Yes. What you are not seeing is that you are becoming dead to God. Sometimes it's not even just that. The person is struggling when it comes to the things of prayer, fellowship, worship, giving. It's all a struggle. Do you realize with the way God opened my eyes to this thing? You've bought pizza in recent times. How much if you bought pizza recently? I'm not shaming you. There's nothing wrong. I just want to tell you something. Nobody raised up their hand now. So if you bought pizza recently, it should be something like 15,000 upwards.
Yes, sir.
If you go to any blockbuster movie now at the cinema, you should just budget like 7,500 or more. 5,000 cheap. If you say 5,000, okay, it's not available again. No 5,000 ticket. Okay, sorry. Somebody said sharp. 7,500. But if a person gives 7,500 as offering, he may say, today, Lord, you say, if you know, I try. reason I'm now. And that's actually a lot. But when you are paying that for the movie, it didn't seem like a lot. Are you seeing what I'm saying? And I'm not trying to guilt trip you. I'm just showing you how it is possible, for you to start getting debt to God and you don't even know. And you don't even know. Oh, I cannot pray. I'm so busy, I cannot pray. Do you know that if you pray for 30 minutes without distractions, you will do it? It will mean a lot. But every one of us here that has a smartphone, you must have scrolled on social media at least 30 minutes every day. Every day. So, guess what? The problem is not consistency. Oh, pastor, my problem is just consistency. Consistency is not your problem. Because 50% of us hearing this sermon, even those following me online, I am sure 50% of everybody that is hearing this sermon, you woke up this morning, you picked up your phone. And you scrolled on that phone at least 15 minutes. We are very disciplined people. We don't spend 30 minutes of one. Let me pretend. So I am sure that every one of us woke up, you picked your phone, and you scrolled on that phone 15 minutes. And you have done it every day of this year. So is it consistency that is the problem? No. I'm saying that loss of appetite, it starts from small, small things. So now you feel more excited after watching a movie. And that's not even bad. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm saying you need to be able to tell yourself something is not right. So you should be able to catch yourself. Are you with me? Yes, and say, Kai, no. When you see things like that, you take retreats. You take fasting, you begin to pray. And you will start it as duty. You will feel the drag in your soul. You will feel the, this thing is boring. You will feel the, what kind of thing is this? But as you keep doing it, you will move from duty to delight. Are you with me? So, can you see now that a lot of people are sick and they don't even know? You know, I saw a book one time when I landed at the airport in Lagos. They said, nearly everybody in Lagos is mad. That was the title of the book. But to be honest, that city, I don't think it's just Lagos. I think it's Nigeria. Because here, one day in this Abuja, we'll say here. We're in traffic, waiting for the traffic lights to turn green. It turned green. There was a woman that blocked everybody. She just stayed there, left her AC on, and was scrolling on her phone. Ha! It's not like they told me I was there. People came and was hitting the door. Mama, where did they worry you? And you are very stupid. Can't you see where I am? She didn't even sign anybody. She just kept doing like this. So I thought maybe the car was not working. Maybe there was a problem. Yeah. And I said, this car is actually on. Do you know, after people shouted and shouted, when she was done with her scrolling, she started driving. I said, I will call the author of that book and say, 80% of everybody in this country are mad. What is that? I've traveled around. There was one I saw in Port Harcourt. Somebody is driving. You drove and hit somebody. You just hit somebody's bumper. Broke the bumper. Everybody came out and said, Oga, nah, you. It's you that did this thing. The man came out with his big belly. Ha, take us, Sam. That day, I just said, I give up. God, only you can rule this world. Because what is that? Give me this big stone, my legs. Ha, take us, Sam. Why you leaving car there? You, sir, you hit somebody's car.
Please, are you with me?
How did I even get here safe?
Well, loss of appetite.
You find yourself, your appetite for the word of God. This is why, you see, this is why I push people to come to church. For instance, now, I want to ask you, are you feeling bored? Are you feeling tired? What is happening? The reason why you cannot feel it now is because the congregated force of the spirit with believers together is suppressing the strength of your soul. Are you with me?
Yes,
it's suppressing that boredom. So this is why, have you ever heard people say things like, it's not by praying in church. Do you have a prayer life in your house? It's not by jumping in church. Do you have a walk with God in the house? Let me tell you, both your personal walk with God and your public walk, your corporate walk with God is important. None is more important than the other. Your corporate fire will feed your personal altar, and your personal altar will feed your corporate fire. Are you with me? So if you are in a church that is on fire like New Breed, amen.
Glory!
When you come to church, you will be stirred. It is that fire you will carry to your personal altar. As your personal altar catches fire, you will bring it from there back to the church. When people now come together and pray, they discover that as we pray, our prayer is catching fire more. The more that thing keeps happening, a time will come after some months when that church gathers to pray. You will now begin to see what happened after the fall, and the place was shaking. Are you with me? It's important. Something, my appetite is restored.
My appetite is restored.
Don't worry. When we are done with the final point, I will show you how to bring the appetite. You know, have you ever seen that thing that is called forced reset in laptops? I will show you how to do spiritual forced reset. Let me tell you. This is what I'm talking about. It happens to anybody. Oh, you can be a bishop and be going through all these things. And this second one, loss of appetite, if it's not dealt with early enough, after a while, the person will begin to stray. He will. Now, because the soul loves novelty, he wants to watch a movie. Then one movie is not enough. Two. Then after a while, the clean movies are not satisfying the cravings of his soul. He now wants to watch. He will not add soft porn where they will open. That one is not enough. Soon, before you know, he has gone far. He's now watching outright pornography, sexual immorality. After a while, before he catches himself, he has done it again. He will be. See, you can be a bishop and this is happening to you. What I'm talking about, you can be a pastor, and if you're not careful, you will be swimming in immorality like this. And be a man, taka, oh, balabaya. Boy, you, Holy Ghost and the tongues, we know that we no follow. Are you what I'm saying? The only thing that will happen is that the people who are deep with God, who stay along with God, when you are talking, that thing will not be hitting the depth of their soul. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
When that person is ministering, this thing is not called, something is not right inside here. That's why in the Old Testament, when you see the priest, upon the breastplate of the priest was inscribed, holiness unto the Lord. Those days, if you are a priest and you go and offer sacrifice, and you were not purified before you came, you will die before the Shekinah glory. They will use the pomegranates and drag you out. Okay, so I'm speaking in. Don't worry. You get what I'm saying, right?
Yes, sir.
Those days, if you were a real man of God, they will know. You can't, you can't be like this. Before, you will die before they even. Why do you think there were bells on the rope that when they stop hearing, they know that as long as they are hearing the bell, you are alive in the Shekinah. When they stop hearing the bell, you don't buy you. They will drag you out like this. Okay, sorry. You sing before you enter. God is a merciful God, though. Now, see, let me tell you something. People who know God, who have been deep in the Bible, there are many arguments that are going on online. When we see it like this, it's so very, 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 very nonsense argument. And when I see that, I just laugh. Even our fathers of faith, and when I'm talking about fathers of faith, I'm not talking about fathers in this generation. I'm not talking about Bishop Iripo, Adeboye. Those are our fathers of faith. But I'm talking about the people that brought forth what we practice today as Pentecostalism. George Whitefield, Jonathan Edwards, Oswald J. Smith, all those people. The real Pentecostals. Some of this nonsense that we are discussing. Go and read Jonathan Edwards. He's going to say, how can the God of the Bible kill that? I saw one very wonderful video that is not God that killed Ananias and Sapphira, that is Peter that killed them. That is not God that rained fire from upon Sodom and Gomorrah, that it was an angel that was talking to Abraham, that God, very, very funny things. So when I saw it, don't worry, I'll do a teaching on it to explain it, all those things to you. When I saw it, I laughed. I so laughed. You know when you laugh, I'm like, where will I start responding to this person from? The people that we are calling our fathers of the Pentecostal revival that brought what we have today, if they see some of these things, they will even curse you. See, I place a curse. Jonathan Edwards, sinners in the hand of an angry God. I know. Imagine you have a billboard that was announced outside and said, on so and so Sunday, Pastor David will be doing a teaching, sinners in the hands of an angry God. But that man did that teaching. Bishop Oedipo said, when that teaching was read, even when he was very young, that the conviction power was so strong that him that was born again, he was in Nigeria, he was holding a pillar so that he would not fall. It is in our day we ask, saying things like, what if a person is committing fornication when the rapture comes? Why is it that your own plan is to be committing fornication when the rapture is blowing? Why is that your plan? When the rapture, will he still make it? Why is that your plan? Or is it John Buyan, Pilgrim's Progress? Who knows Pilgrim's Progress here? Sir. Jesus. That book here. It is well. Say his hyper grace. Never see she shunting. Say God is not key. Go and tell Jesus that one. Jesus say, fear not him who can kill your body alone, but he that can destroy your body and your soul in hell. He's talking about God, though. It's God Jesus was talking about. Don't worry, we are contending for defeat. And some people are saying, so you people are so desperate to present a God that kills. You people like to talk. You see, it's not about desperate to present a God that kills. Do you know what it means when you say God does not kill? That means your enemies have no judgment. Too. Do you know what it means to say there is a judge that cannot execute judgment? Do you know what you are saying? Do you know what that means? It's not even just that. We are destroying the testimony of the text. So what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? One said it's an apostle. He said it was a natural disaster. Especially when in the Old Testament, Jude tells us that what God did to Sodom and Gomorrah is a foretaste of the judgment coming. It was in the Old Testament and in the New Testament explained. Number three, sign that a person is sick spiritually is an impaired spiritual vision. Impaired spiritual vision. When a person is sick spiritually, he can't seem to discern what God is saying about his life. He has no clue, no idea. He seems like he's moving, but deep within, he feels lost.
this is another sign that a person is sick spiritually. He feels lost. He's moving, he's everybody. He's with people, but deep within he feels alone. Ah, God. He feels deeply alone. He feels lost. Lost. Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 3, he answered and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." He cannot see. Now, the kingdom of God is not a physical kingdom. So what does it mean by see the kingdom? It means that when a person is born again, God will give him a supernatural sight to begin to discern what the position of the kingdom is on different matters. So apart from the basics of the Christian faith, for instance, you ask somebody, how can a virgin give birth to the Son of God? Even though there is a way to explain it, the newborn Christian may not have all the vocabulary to explain it, but he knows, he can see it, that Jesus was born of a virgin. Are you with me? The Bible says the Spirit himself beareth witness that our spirit that we are children of God. Okay, how do you know you are a child of God? Well, I cannot explain all the vocabulary, but I have seen it in my spirit. Are you with me? That I am a child of God. So, the same way when a baby is in the womb of his or her mother, he has eyes, but he cannot use the eyes. When the child is born, the child cannot begin to exercise his senses. In the same way, when a person is born again spiritually, his senses in the spirit will be activated to know this is the position of God's kingdom. So, for instance, he can know, God does not want me to be in Abia. I'm supposed to be in Enugu. I'm not supposed to be in Enugu. I'm supposed to be in Abuja. You know why? How he's knowing those things? By the sight of the kingdom. He can see that God's kingdom is saying, this is where you ought to be. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
He can see the kingdom. You know, when you read John chapter 17, you will see Jesus say something. John 17 from verse 3. It says, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God. So, eternal life in a man gives him the ability to know. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
He gives him the ability to know the position of God or what God is saying. So, when a person is sick spiritually, even though he has eternal life within him, he will be finding it difficult to know or to see what the kingdom is saying. So he's awake physically, but in the spirit, he seems like, I don't really know what's going on. I can't really. Are you getting me?
Yes, sir.
Let me tell you something. Never make a life-changing decision when you feel this way. When you are in this state, when a person is in this state, don't make any major life decision, because by the time you come out of it, you will discover you may have made something wrong. Are you getting me? You know, as a man of God I respect so much in this country, a friend of mine went to see him to ask him some things. And so, see, maturity in the spirit is not all about, it's not by claiming you always know. It's by knowing when, give me some time. The mature people will not always claim they have all the answers every time. They will tell you, wait, just let's wait. They are not in a hurry. He went to see, actually, the person I'm talking about, Apostle Arome. Sai. So the friend of mine is a minister friend. He went to see Apostle Arome and they were talking, and also said, there's something I'm seeing, but it's scattered. I can't see it well. That's what he said. He said, I'm not seeing it well. It's hazy. I can't see it well. Come back later when I rest and pray well. He said, what I'm seeing a vision, but it's not clear to me. It's feeling scattered. Somebody else said, I see. Is this what God is saying? You're what God is saying about all the world.
You prophesy rubbish. You're talking of. There was a time. I remember one manifest Bible course years ago. I think 7 years ago, my final Lord, myself, Pastor Irene, many other ministers were just gathered on, were doing a Bible study, and somebody asked a question, and he just said, I don't know. I don't think I know that. I don't think I have the answer. He just said, I don't know. He was the one teaching us, so all of us were sitting now. He just said, no, I don't know. They ask you, who key and Ananias and Sapphira? You go there, talk rubbish. Just say, I don't know. I don't know. Just say, I don't know. I will study it later. I will get back to you. Sorry. It's like Pastor David. Back to what I'm saying. When you can't, it's not clear. When is a sign that a person is sick. So you take our time. So how is this corrected? The Bible is sweet too. Still on this impaired vision. Do you remember when Peter said in John chapter 10 verse 44, he said, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. I perceive. Meaning you can discern what God is trying to do. I perceive. When he saw how God brought him to the house of Cornelius and how he was preaching and the word of God, I think that should be verse 38. But he said, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. He could see that, oh, God is not looking at Gentile or Jew. Anyone who is open to him, the message will get to him. He could perceive. Now, Paul, you see Paul in Acts chapter 10, verse, after Acts chapter 27, verse 10. Paul will say, I perceive that this journey will be with hurt. Let me tell you, if you are a Christian and everything that happens in your life is a surprise, you are not healthy spiritually. Are you with me? If you are healthy, there are places you should walk into and say, I've seen here before. No, I've seen this thing before. No, I've seen this. I can perceive what God is trying to do. I've seen this before. I've seen that before. Are you with me? So, how is this corrected? All these symptoms of spiritual sickness, how is this corrected? How are we brought back to spiritual health? There is one medicine, one drug that corrects all spiritual sicknesses. It's called an intense manifestation of God's presence. There are other sicknesses that is not just that, but the major one for all of them. An intense manifestation of God's presence. Or let me put it like this. All the symptoms I've mentioned, though, the way to correct them is by an intense manifestation of God's presence. So, when a person is exposed to God's presence for a long time, you will now discover that your weariness will be exchanged for strength. Are you with me? And so you must stay in the presence of God for a long time until your weariness has been exchanged for strength, until your appetite for the things of God has been restored, and your appetite for sin has been put to death. Do you remember Hebrews chapter 1, I think from verse 6, it says that was love righteousness and hated iniquity. No, not verse 6, from verse 8 to 9. That is love righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, you have been anointed with an oil of gladness above thy fellows. So, he did not just love righteousness, but you hate iniquity. So, you will stay with God long enough until your appetites are restored. You stay there in the place of prayer, maybe worship the word of God. You stay there. Are you with me? Yes, that's what long meetings do. Has it ever happened to you before where you were fasting and by evening you started feeling an intense man, you started feeling like God's presence was more around you? Who has experienced that before, where you did not eat, you just left food? You were praying intermittently, praying in tongues, and by 6 p.m., you started feeling like, I'm a man of God. Like, Kai, I feel like there's a reset in my spirit. That is what we are talking about. Are you with me? And then you begin to see the kingdom of God. By the time you begin to pray, has it ever happened to you before where you are praying, gradually you start getting ideas?
Yes, sir.
You start writing down thoughts.
Yes, sir.
What has happened is that time that thing is happening is where you just connected to Wi-Fi. You know, if you are disconnected from Wi-Fi like this, you will not be getting messages. But if you now enter your house where there is internet access, after a while, messages begin to drop. Sometimes messages that came in the morning that you should have responded to, you will start dropping. So that's why if you're a person that has been very far from God, when you start praying, you now discover that there was an instruction you should have obeyed 3 years ago. Things will start dropping. Bah, bah, bah. You start seeing messages. In the same way, when you begin to stay with God long enough, you will now begin to get insight into the kingdom. Insight into the kingdom. Now you begin to see. Then you just know, okay, I supposed to have been doing this. I should have done this now. Okay, I will do this. So you must have regular times. If possible, not if possible, you have to do it every day. You pray. And let me even mention this here. Please! I am discovering something. When you are praying, fight against distractions. If the devil cannot destroy you, he will do everything to distract you. If you are praying in tongues and you are walking up and down, distracting yourself, you are destroying your prayer. Let me just put it like that. You are destroying your prayer. You are praying in tongues, you are scrolling on Instagram. After a while, rakapata. This guy is a very stupid boy. Oh, jakata palakata palakata. You are destroying your prayer. You do it until you begin to feel freshness in the spirit. Isaiah 40 verse 31. They that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. You see, they shall run and not be weary. Remember we talked about weariness, right? So by the time you begin to wait on the Lord, you deal with weariness. Look at Matthew chapter 11 verse 29 to 30. It says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Then he now says in verse 30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Actually, let's read this text from verse 11. Matthew 11 from verse 28, please. From verse 28. It says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. How will the rest come? Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. So it is true that if you come unto him, if you are heavy laden, he will give you rest. But if you really want that rest, you will take his yoke upon you and learn of him. And that's when you will now find the rest for your soul. Are you getting this? Jump on your feet.